Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let us kneel before the Lord.
I too would like to say good evening and welcome everyone to the Lord's house tonight. I thank you for the prayers on my behalf and ask you would continue to pray that as we look into God's word, he would reveal to us what we need to hear tonight. The title of the message tonight is Identify the Enemy. And our brother read to us there how while the men slept, the enemy came and sowed the tares. And if we jump over to verse 36 through 43, it explains this parable. Then Jesus said, I sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I guess my purpose for the message tonight is I want us to realize that Satan is the enemy. Satan is the one that's out to tear the church apart. But way too often, and bear with me, but you know, this is how situations too often unfold. A conflict comes between you and someone, your wife, a brother or sister in the church. And, you know, the first thing that happens, we get an attitude toward that guy that offended me. And sometimes it's so bad that when you see him come in that door, you go out that door. And then sometimes if you have to, you know, meet up with him, you'd rather just hit him than shake his hand. You say, preacher, that's pretty strong. And it is. I trust we wouldn't do that. But guess what? Peter said, I'll never deny you. But he did. And I'm here to tell you, Satan will do whatever means he can. He will use whatever device he can to destroy the church, to destroy a peaceful situation. So tonight, the devil is the enemy, and we need to be fighting him instead of too often each other. He is out to destroy anything good that God has created, and you and I are also in his target. In fact, if you're here tonight and you profess Jesus Christ, you got a target on your back from Satan. He's out to get you. And as we looked at the Garden of Eden a little bit this morning, things were so beautiful. It was the next thing to heaven. But Satan couldn't have it. He came and destroyed that peaceful situation. And tonight he wants to, that is his goal. He's out to destroy anything good. But Jesus gives us the power. Jesus gives us the strength here. You know, sometimes it would be nice, as they ask here, just come and get rid of this guy. Just come and get rid of this situation. But you know, if you've ever weeded the garden, this happened more than once. You know, you got a beautiful stand of corn or peas or whatever, and here's this difficult weed. And as you yank that weed out, guess what? There comes a good stalk of corn. So I sort of get Jesus' point here. He doesn't want to destroy the good with the bad, but he sent Jesus. And tonight it says there, I believe we have the power as God's children that we can deal with him if we're willing to or if we want to. But too often Satan will fire us up, the flesh will get in the way, and we just as soon see the guy destroyed rather than fixed up. Again, I hope that's not the case, but that is Satan's desire. And my challenge tonight is to live above that. Realize Satan is the one that's the problem and not necessarily the brother or the sister. Satan could, he could be using that person. That person could be allowing Satan to do this, but we cannot be attacking and tearing each other down, but we need to gang up against the devil. So because of Satan's pride, he got cast out of heaven. And we like to look at Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit." Five times, if I counted right, Satan exalts himself here. And you know, if we're not careful, even if we are careful, me, myself, and I are the biggest enemy to the cross of Jesus Christ. We are the enemy, as self would get in the way, we are the enemy of the cross of Jesus, and we don't want that. And sometimes, we picture in storybooks and stuff, you'll see Satan with a pitchfork and this ugly old man. But, that's not the case. Satan was the most beautiful angel in heaven. And because of that, pride got the best of him. And that's what got him cast out. We can read that in Ezekiel chapter 28. If we look at verses 11 through 19, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus, and say unto him, Thou saith the Lord God, Thou sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been an Eden in the garden of God, every precious stone which thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets, of thy pipes, were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." My challenge this evening is, let's get a grip on iniquity. Let's get a grip on the Satan and not let him deceive us into his deception that got him cast out of heaven. And we can read in Revelation chapter 12. And I'm no scholar. I'm just a simple old preacher. I don't know how this all took place or when or how. But Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So brothers and sisters, tonight, it is not your brother or your sister. It is not your friend that is the enemy. Satan, we find here, was cast out, and his ultimate goal is to destroy us. So my challenge is that we would fight Satan and not attack our brother or sister. Satan's doom is sealed because And because of that, he has one goal, and that is to cause so much havoc and destruction to the church of Jesus Christ as he possibly can. That's Satan's goal, and we need to be aware of that so we can fight him, so we can get a grip on the problems around us rather than attack our brother or our sister. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Again, Satan is real. His army is real. His demons are real. We need to be on our guard. We need to be watching. We need to be fighting against him. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 and 11. Then Jesus saith unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go out in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want to challenge us tonight to seek Jesus, to find Jesus, to seek ways that make peace instead of allow Satan to destroy that which God has put in place. We need to live and care for each other like the good shepherd. He loves and he cares for us. Our love for God is displayed by our love for our brothers and our sisters. And I believe that tonight. We can say we love God and do all these things, but I believe our love for God is displayed through our love for our brother and our sisters. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is true. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And I trust that would be the goal and the desire of each of us tonight, that we would, how God loved me, that we would pass that on and share that with our brothers and our sisters, our friends, our neighbors. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And where would we be tonight without the love of God? Where would we be tonight without his mercies and his grace? So I believe that we need to share that with our brothers and our sisters, rather than too often fight and bicker. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 15. It says, for brethren, ye have not been called under liberty. You have been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For if all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know what? If we could fulfill that, if we could love our neighbor as ourselves, problems would be solved. It would be. There wouldn't be fighting. there wouldn't be bickering. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. But if ye bite and devour, I'm sorry, I just read that. So my point of this evening is the horrific end of fighting each other instead of Satan is self-destruction. We self-destroy ourselves when we fight within the body of believers, when we fight within the body of God, when we fight within our families, we self-destroy ourselves. And that's ultimately is what Satan wants, but it's not what God wants. God calls us to love. God calls us to kindness. Some examples of this is in 1 Samuel. Actually, for sake of time, let's just look at Judges. Judges chapter 7. Bear with me. It's here somewhere. Judges chapter 7. Let's read verses 19 through 22. It says, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came onto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zararath, and to the border of Abel-Mehola unto Tabas. So we see in this account, and it would be, you know, if you were inside those walls, if you were in the false security of self, they felt pretty secure. In fact, they might have even looked out and sort of mocked these 300 men. Like, what are you going to do? We got this wall. We're safe. Who do you think you are? But because of the situation and the might and the power of God here, Gideon and the 300 men blew their trumpets. We know what happened. But because of all the chaos, these guys just started killing each other. We need to gang up and defeat Satan, not each other. Again, I want to remind us, the enemy is not your brother or your sister, but Satan. We need to rebuke Satan and love and help our brothers and sisters in whatever they're struggling with. You know, it's so easy to look down on someone that's maybe going through a struggle, somebody that's going through a calamity. Maybe we say they're just getting what they deserved. Maybe you gave them some advice and they didn't listen to me. Well, that's their own fault. That's their problem. No, it's not. I believe it's brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to get behind each other. We need to support each other. We need to help those brothers and sisters that's struggling. You know, people will mess up. Let's not beat them up. People will let us down. Let's not knock them down. You know, years ago, my father-in-law, brother-in-law, they tended a turkey barn, and sometimes I would get involved in helping them, and it was disgusting, actually, but, you know, there'd be these, a turkey or two sick or whatever, and, you know, the turkeys would just peck him. Just blood rolling out their necks, whatever. And they're just pecking them. So we'd get bales of, I don't know what turkey farmers here might do, but we'd get bales of alfalfa and we'd put in there and somehow that detoured the turkey to peck them. But yeah, they would just pounce on that hurting turkey and just make him bleed all the more. I trust tonight, people, we're not like that. I trust that we would be kind enough and have enough love to support and help build one another up. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 12 says, therefore, all these things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. How often is it when there's something in somebody else's life that really irritates you, how often are you guilty of that same thing? How often do we like to play doctor and you know, if you would just get this and this and this right, your life might change. But yet, you know, my wife's uncle always said, when there's one finger pointing out, guess what? There's three of them pointing back at me. I'm not saying we can't talk in, you know, talk situations out, but how often the judgment that we mete out, it might not even be a sin. It's just an irritation that bugs me. So then we judge our brother or our sister. But verse 12 sums it up. You know, if I would treat others like I would want to be treated, like you would want to be treated, again, I think it would solve a lot of problems would solve themselves. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So I ask the question, should a Christian really have an enemy? Should we really have someone that doesn't like us? I know sometimes because we're serving the Lord, that does irritate and convict people. But in all reality, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I want to challenge each of us tonight that would be our goal. I believe it's the blueprint for men and women of God, that we would be at peace with one another. Make friends. Satan is the enemy. Just some verses here in closing. Again, we need to fight Satan, not each other. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Again, it's encouragement. Peter's challenging us here. Be of one mind. Be on the same level. You know, at the foot of the cross, the ground is all the same. We all need to come to the foot of the cross. So we need to be likewise in the rest of life. We need to be on the same page. We need to be compassionate. Love his brethren. And to go with verse 13, there should never harm come from a child of God. There should never harm come from a child of God. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Listen, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. We dare not rejoice when our brother or sister falls or gets in a situation that's dire, but we need to help them. And I like to compare it to a ball game. I love playing ball. You know, when a team player strikes out or he misses a ball or et cetera, you don't hear criticism. We were just at some ball games recently. You don't hear criticism for him striking out or for walking somebody. But what you hear is, "Shake it off, Johnny," or to the pitcher, "Get right back in there. You'll catch the next one," et cetera. You hear encouragement at a ball game with your teammate. You don't hear somebody chewing him out because he dropped it. To err is human. But as a team player on a sports team, you encourage each other to do better next time, not to make fun of them or tear them down. Isaiah 41, verses 1 through 10. And I love this chapter. "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way when he had not gone with his feet. He hath wrought and done it, calling the generations to the beginning. I am the Lord, the first and the last. I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. The carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's my God, and it's his children. That's how we need to be. We need to encourage each other. We need to get behind each other. God takes care of us so we can take care of each other. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. We're just going to pick through here a little bit. Verses 9 and 10. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Verses 16 through 18. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." We are called to a higher standard of living here in Romans chapter 12. It's so easy to recompense evil for evil. "Well, you did this to me, so now I can do this to you." No, that's the flesh. That's not the way of the Lord. But we're to respond as Jesus responded. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 8 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. In other words, if there's one chocolate chip cookie left, let your brother have it. If there's one Hershey kiss left, let your little sister have it. Yeah, that's what he's saying here. But yeah, how hard it is sometimes to just want our own way and get the last word in, or, you know, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, here's our perfect example. Our Savior, the man that was willing to go to the cross and die for me, setting the stage of how you and I need to respond and deal with each other and the world around us. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 talks about loving with unfeigned love. Unfeigned means not counterfeit. It's not hypocritical. It's real. It's sincere. Fervently means very enthused, passionate, having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit. That is what Jesus Christ is calling us as his children to. Does our love for our brothers and sisters fit in this definition? Remember, we must fight Satan, not each other. Are you tired of fighting the battle alone? Are you ready to have victory in your life? Tonight, we'd like to give you an invitation to join the winning team. We'd like to give you an invitation to accept Jesus into your heart. Join the team, join the army that'll give you victory. What shall we sing? Number 16 in the green book.